Right after I graduated from college, I had the opportunity to go on staff at a large church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area as the collegiate pastor, and I had a great time for the number of years that we were at that church working with university students. And during that time, I believe that the Lord was kind of leading me and directing me, and I was really praying about my future, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me one day, not in an audible voice, but just to my heart, about being the college pastor at a church that was in a college town, more like a large university town. And we had a good group of students in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but Dallas is not really a college town, and I really wanted to be in a place where there was a major college. And so over the next year, I was praying about this, just asking God to kind of direct me and lead me and show me what to do, and I found out many months later that a position had opened at a church in Austin. And this was a great church. It was right on top of the University of Texas campus. The University of Texas is the largest university in America right now, over 50,000 students. It is a college pastor's dream to get to serve at the University of Texas, and primarily at this church that had such a great ministry to university students. And so I thought, oh my goodness, I was like, this is, the Lord's put this in my heart. I knew the church. I knew the type of church. It was very similar to the church that I was working at in Dallas. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is the job for me. I'm the man. This is it. And so I called a friend of mine and he said, Ryan, I used to work at that church. Let me recommend you. I'm going to send your resume down there. And he said, there's no doubt you're extremely qualified and you're at least going to get a phone call about this position. So my friend sent my resume in and I was just waiting, you know, kind of staring at the phone, just, you know, waiting for my opportunity to go down there and to interview and to get to know this church a little bit better. And I want to tell you something, the phone never rang. And I looked for weeks and weeks and weeks. In fact, I found out later that they had moved another pastor on their staff from another position into the collegiate position, and they didn't even interview or talk to anybody on the outside. So I was like, well, okay, you know, on to the next thing. Well, during that time, I continued my studies at the seminary, and I continued getting my master's degree, and I took a ton of hours over the next two semesters towards my master's degree, and I had just started dating this beautiful woman named Gina, all right? There's no doubt she was a biblical babe that God had put in my life, and we had just started dating, and I thought, well, you know, I guess I'm not going to Austin, so I guess I'll just kind of press on with what I'm doing. So I just focused on finishing as much of my school as I could, and also was getting to know Gina. As you may be aware, we got married, and we dated and then got engaged and then married within the next year. And man, we were happily newlyweds, finishing up my seminary degree and also a great ministry at our church in Dallas when I got a phone call from this church. Now, this is more than a year later. And I wouldn't have even thought they even had my name or my number anymore. But the pastor called and he said, Ryan, we're looking for a college pastor and we have your resume on file. We got it, you know, a year ago. And the guy that we moved into that position has gone on and done something else. And now we're interviewing candidates. Are you interested? And I was like, oh my goodness, let me pray about that. Yes, you know, I'll be very interested. So to make a long story short, we flew down to Austin, interviewed, took that position, and we spent very happy years in Austin, Texas, working with university students. Over 500 students committed their lives to Christ during the time that we were there at our church, and God did a great work, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And I've often thought about that situation in relation to God's timing, because see, had I gone down and filled this position a year earlier, then I would have had to put my seminary studies on hold, at least for a while. And more importantly, I might not have ever married my wife, Gina. You know, and God had all of this orchestrated in his own timing. You know, today we're talking about waiting on the Lord. And see, sometimes when we're waiting on the Lord, we have a temptation to want to get ahead of what God is doing in our lives. And when we begin to get ahead of what God is doing, we begin to force things to happen, we begin to kick doors in, we begin to force our own will in our way, and we get ourselves into trouble. And today we want to talk about waiting on the Lord, because see, waiting on the Lord is one of the most powerful ways to know exactly where God is leading us. So today I want you to grab your sermon notes that are there in your worship folder. If you want to grab those out, if you don't have a Bible with you, there's one underneath your chair. And today we're going to be looking at several scriptures about waiting on the Lord. Now, timing is critical in everything we do. Timing is critical in investments. Timing is critical in relationships. Timing is critical in athletics. Timing is critical in following God's will. Timing is a huge part of the Christian life. And getting ahead or behind where God is leading us will ultimately lead us into difficulties. But if we can get on God's time frame today, God is going to do some amazing things in and through our lives. And so today we want to talk about waiting on the Lord. And what I'm about to share with you is guaranteed to give you more energy and to help you accomplish more of what God has called you to do. The purpose that God has for your life, the plans that God has for your life. We're going to talk about how we can zero in on those things and to get focused on those things and accomplish those things in the timing that God has for your life. And this message is so important because we screw a lot of things up by trying to get ahead of God. But notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 27:14. He said it this way, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord." So he says two times, wait for the Lord, one at the beginning and one at the end. And he says, take courage and be strong, wait for the Lord. You see, waiting on the Lord is pausing for instruction from the Lord. It's not moving ahead until we're certain what God is saying to us. And it doesn't mean that we're not active. You know, some people have the idea that waiting on God means that you just, you know, pull a pillow over your head and hunker down in your basement and wait till lightning strikes three times or something like that. Waiting on the Lord is not a passive experience. Waiting on the Lord is active. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean we don't work. It doesn't mean that we don't pray. It doesn't mean that we're not trying to put a plan together. But waiting on the Lord is making certain that before we proceed with major decisions in our life, that is exactly where God is leading us. So that's what we mean when we talk about waiting on the Lord. Now, it's interesting. God is not early and he's not late. God is always right on time. He's always right on time. And we have this idea in our mind that God is old and slow, you know? God is old and slow. You know, we think about that. We think, wow, you know, it takes God forever to do what should be so simple. I mean, come on, Lord, you know. And we get frustrated sometimes. We think the Lord is old and slow. But listen, he may be old and he may be slow compared to our timing. But know this, God's timing is always perfect. It's always perfect. And when we begin to zero in on God's timing, then it begins to maximize his blessings in our lives. So God's not early and he's not late. And I hate waiting. I mean, waiting has got to be one of the worst experiences in life. Do we have any people that hate to wait this morning? All right, several of us. Yeah. Why is it that at every doctor's office you go to, you always have to wait? You know? I hate waiting at the doctor's office because you're waiting and you're thinking about all the things they're going to do to you the whole time that you're there, right? Or you're waiting at the dentist. You know, every time you go to the dentist, you always have to wait. And you always, you know, I'm always paranoid. Man, I'm going to have five cavities, you know, when I'm sitting there in the waiting room. I hate waiting at restaurants. In fact, the only time I wait at a restaurant is if my wife really, really, really wants to eat there for a special occasion. But I absolutely hate waiting. In fact, I always ask for the check right when the waiter brings the food, you know, because I hate waiting for the check after I'm ready to go. You know, I hate to wait. But waiting on the Lord in the spiritual arena is one of the greatest disciplines of the Christian life, and it's one that is so important for us. So let's talk about how can we begin to wait on the Lord and how can we begin to get into God's timing. Well, our primary passage this morning is really in Isaiah chapter 40, where the Bible says in verses 28 to 31, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall even fall exhausted. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not grow faint." That's interesting, this scripture, Isaiah chapter 40, was written to a group of Jews who lived in Judea, and they were exiles. Their country and their city of Jerusalem had been conquered. They had been taken into slavery and captivity and moved to the city of Babylon. And there they were slaves and captives. They were in a foreign land. Their temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. If anybody had room to feel discouragement, if anybody had room to feel uncertainty and fear and worry, it was the Judeans that were listening to the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40. And so he was writing to a group of people that were struggling with worry and with fear and with waiting on the Lord. But he said in this passage, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth." And then he goes on and he talks about waiting on the Lord in verse 31. "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." Now, when we pray, oftentimes God says yes, and we love the yeses. You know, I mean, when you pray about something and God answers that prayer, you're like, yes. You know, that is so exciting. We love the yeses. But other times we pray and God says no, and we hate the no's. But I think even harder than the no's is the waits. Sometimes God says no, sometimes he says yes, sometimes God just says wait. And sometimes the wait is harder than the no because there's uncertainty. At least no is more final. But when God says wait on something, we're uncertain about, well, where is this going? Or what's the future? Or is it going to work out or not? And so sometimes waiting is even harder than even praying about something and the Lord saying no. So how can we begin to wait on the Lord? And what does that look like? Well, today we want to look at Isaiah 40 and beginning in verse 28. The Bible says, "Waiting on the Lord makes me trust Him." See, waiting on the Lord makes me trust Him. Look at the scripture. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Here the Bible is saying, man, God is huge. God is big. Waiting on the Lord requires us to remember the greatness and the bigness of our God. And a lot of times the reason that we feel so impatient and we feel so fearful and so afraid is because our view of God is that God's like, you know, this big. We have a little view of God. And the prophet Isaiah reminds us that God's the creator of the heavens and the earth, man. I mean, he's been here past, present, and future before any of us were even thought of or even conceived. I mean, God knew every single thing about us. He knew everything about our future, and he knew everything about our past. And the prophet just says, the Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. Man, God created every single thing in the world. And he just begins to elevate the bigness and the greatness of God. And see, if we're going to really begin to overcome worry, and if we're going to be people that wait on the Lord and get our life in sync with the divine time of God, we have to remember who God is and how great he is. And the fact that he's the creator of the ends of the earth. And he doesn't get tired. He doesn't grow weary. Now, we get tired. We have to rest. God never, never, never grows weary. And his understanding is unsearchable. I mean, God understands everything. See, a lot of times we think in the Christian life that we have to understand every nuance of a situation, every in and out and every detail before we can take a step of faith. We think, man, if I just knew, you know, every single question that I had was answered, then I would be able to take that step of faith, or then I would wait on the Lord. You know, when you're waiting on the Lord, a lot of times you don't know all the answers. And the reason that you're okay with being uncertain is because you trust the one that does know all of the answers. And his name is the Lord God. So waiting on the Lord makes me trust him. It means we don't have to figure everything out by ourselves. Now, I share with you guys a couple weeks ago that Gina and I, it took about 7 or 8 years for us to have our first child. We just celebrated 12 years of marriage in August, and about 3 years into our marriage, we started trying to have children. And I want to tell you something, 7 to 8 years, that is a long, long, long time. I know there are definitely people that have waited longer to have kids. We were going to the doctors, and the doctors were saying, man, we're really not sure, you know, why you're not having kids. We just weren't having kids. Now, 7 to 8 years, that's like 49 years in dog years, you know? I mean, that feels like an eternity. 7 years, oh my goodness, that is a long time, you know? And every year we would kind of look at ourselves and we're like, well, we're not getting any younger. I mean, you know, but it wasn't happening. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years ago, what happened? We got pregnant. We have a little boy that turned 2 in May. We also have a little girl that's going to turn 1 in October. We went back to back, you know. I mean, to our shock and amazement and our surprise, we thought, well, it took 8 years to have the first one, you know. I was praying that I wouldn't be like Abraham, you know. Abraham had his first child when he was 100, you know. I was like, God, please have mercy on me, you know. My preference would be to not be the age of Abraham, you know. So I guess in light of Abraham, you know, life is pretty good and pretty easy, you know, in that regard. But those 49 years, those dog years, man, it took forever. And but God knew all that. God had a time frame. My time frame was a lot faster. And we have goals for our life. How many of us are goal setters? A lot of us. Oh, my gosh, I've written goals for our church. I've written goals for my life. I'm a huge goal setter. I believe in goal setting. But oftentimes we get pigeonholed by our goals. And we set a goal, and then when that doesn't happen exactly like what we had hoped, then we get upset at God. And so we have goals for how we're going to be when we get married, and how we're going to be when we have children, and how we're going to be when we make our first $1 million, and how we're going to be when we pay off our house, and how we're going to be when we retire. And we have all these goals that we have, and then sometimes those things don't quite work out like we had hoped, or like we had anticipated, and we feel kind of a sense of loss and frustration along the way, like, man, you know, Lord, where were you? You know, I've been wanting to do this for all these years, and it's not happening. You know, we always have to stay flexible when we're following the Lord's timing. We always do, all the time. God's plan for our life is not always exactly our plan. And we got to tweak the plan along the way as the Lord leads and as He opens up new doors of opportunity and as He closes doors of opportunity. So as we're walking with Him, and we're praying, and we're studying the Scripture, and whatever, then it's good. Let's set the goals. Let's have the objectives that we're working towards. But you know what? When all those things don't work out exactly like it is, then what we do is we don't have to get mad at God. What we need to do is say is, okay, Lord, it's obvious You're redirecting me. So now help me to understand what the new direction is. Where's the new plan, God? Where are we going from here, right? Show me the new plan, because I'm not seeing it yet, Lord. So show me where I need to go now, and I'll do so. And we got to stay flexible. And you know, we're flexible in business, you know, in our jobs. If we're conducting our work and our jobs, and something's not working, we're not going to keep doing the same thing. We're going to change it. We're going to find a new way. Or if we're in sales, we're going to find a new market, or we're going to maybe find a different product, or we're going to do something different. We're going to be tweaking the plan along the way. And that's true in business. It's true in relationships. Man, you can't be rigid in a relationship. You know, if a relationship's going through a difficult time, then you know you're going to respond a certain way. If your relationship's going through a real high point, you're going to respond in a different way. You have to stay flexible. The same is true with God. We have to be flexible. And sometimes we get a plan in our mind, and we like seal it in concrete, and then when it doesn't work out, we get frustrated. Now, I wanted to go to Austin, Texas the first time that I heard about that job. But God had another plan. I was hearing His direction. I was right in wanting to work with college students. That was where the Lord was leading me. But the timing wasn't right. And you know, we can even do the right things in the wrong time and get it all messed up. So what we've got to do is we've got to find out what is God's time. And we find that by waiting upon the Lord, by being patient, and by trusting the Lord, by trusting God. Now, there's a business parable by Spencer Johnson that was written a few years ago called Who Moved My Cheese? Maybe some of you guys read that book. It's an interesting book. It's got four characters, and each one of the four characters goes, and they find their cheese, and they love cheese, and they look forward to cheese. And every single day, all they can think about is their cheese, cheese, cheese. And they go to this certain spot to eat cheese every single day, and they love it, and life is good. But you know what? One day, the cheese has been moved. And these four characters respond in four different ways. And the whole business parable centers around how people deal with change. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do when God moves your cheese? Are you going to wait for Him? Are you going to trust Him? Are you going to remember that He's the creator of the universe, the, the God of the heavens, the one whose understanding is unsearchable, the one that knows every single thing about us and knows every single thing about our situation? Are we going to wait on that God to open up the door for us so that we can walk through it? Or are we going to try and force our agenda on our life and ultimately have a life that is just led and directed by our own flesh and our own ambitions and not by the will of God? You know, I knew at the age of 18 that God was calling me to be a pastor. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. There were no pastors in my family, and my family grew up going to church, but we went to larger churches, and I never really even knew a pastor, like on a personal level, you know? I was always a little scared of pastors. Maybe you can kind of relate to that. You know, pastors can be kind of scary and intimidating sometimes, right? And so I thought, oh my goodness, I mean, I'm not even sure really what pastors do all day. Do they just pray and read their Bible? Or, I mean, what do you do? But at 18 years old, I kind of sensed that that was where the Lord was leading me. But you know, it wasn't until I was 31 years old that I actually became a head pastor. And so I spent the time from 18 to 31 getting my education and being an associate pastor at two churches, learning to preach, learning to share my faith, learning to lead the church, learning to minister, learning to be a shepherd, all those kind of things that you do as a pastor. And so, you know, that's a long time. Now, I'm sure that I could have, at 18, you know, I could have said, man, God's called me to be a pastor. I need to go find a church. And I probably could have found some little church with a couple of blue-haired little grandmas or something like that to preach to. And I'm sure they would have been real gracious to me, and it would have been fine. But God had another plan for me, and that was that he wanted me to learn and to grow and to mature until I could get to the point where I was ready to be the pastor of a church. Now, when I was 31, we started a church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and that church grew to about 400 people in the first 2 years that we started it. And then later on, God directed us to come up here and to start this church. But there's no way that we could have moved into planning a brand new church and to being a head pastor without having that time to grow and to develop as a leader. I had to wait upon the Lord. I had to wait for God to get me ready to take my ministry and my leadership to the next level. And I know God's doing that in your life too, but it all begins when we just have to trust God. So today, if you feel a lot of fear and uncertainty and you're really struggling with trying to figure out, man, is God opening that door or not? Well, remember this. You can trust him. You can trust him. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. His knowledge is unsearchable. There's nothing God doesn't know. You can trust him. But you know what? There's also a second thing. The scripture tells us not only do we trust him, but waiting on the Lord increases my strength. Okay? It increases my strength. Now look at it. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Many of us there, burned out, worn out. Maybe you come home from work and all you can think about is going to bed. You're just so tired. You're so physically exhausted. Okay? This is the scripture for you. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall feel exhausted, but they that wait upon the Lord, or wait for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles, and they shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not grow faint. Now, when you see a big eagle soar, he just flies effortlessly. I can barely say that. There's so much strength. There's so much power that's there. And the Bible says when we're plugged into the power source, when we're waiting on God in our life, that we run and we don't grow weary. You know, we're like one of those marathon runners, those guys that you just look at them and they can just run forever. I mean, that's the image, that's the metaphor of the person that's waiting upon the Lord, that's waiting on God. And we will renew our strength when we wait on the Lord. Now, a lot of times we're focused on too many things. You see, when we're not waiting on God, we're just out, you know, making decisions, whatever it may be, on a variety of different things. Our energy is dispersed in 100 different directions. You know, we're over here, and we're over here, and we're over here, and we're over here. Listen, when you begin to wait on the Lord, God begins to focus your energy and your focus onto much fewer things. And the reason you're going to have a lot more strength to do the things God's called you to do is because your life is going to be a lot more focused on what he is leading you to do rather than just jumping on whatever opportunities are there before you. So when we begin to plug into the power source, we begin to wait on the Lord, and it increases our strength. And we have to renew our strength. We're like a depleted battery. You know, every person here has to have physical rest, and we also have to have spiritual rest. And the way we get spiritual rest is by getting into the Scripture. Man, let God speak to you. Sometimes you'll be reading a passage of the Bible, and you'll see a need in your life, and it's like that passage will just jump off the page and just hit you in the head, and you'll just think, oh my goodness, that has my name on it. That is exactly what I'm facing today. And it recharges your batteries. In prayer, God recharges our batteries. You know what? Being here at worship at the Edge Church every Sunday, why is it so important to be here? Because God is renewing our strength. And listen, this is the greatest hour of your week, man. This is your time to come with the people of God to be encouraged by great fellowship and to be inspired by the teaching of God's Word. Listen, don't let anything interfere with being in the house of God on Sunday morning, because in coming, your life is going to be renewed. God's going to give you the strength to go out and fight all the battles that you have to fight all week long. So that's what church is all about. So we run and we don't grow weary. We walk and we don't grow faint. And we will mount up with the wings like eagles. Before starting our church, really our church is started in prayer. I have, you know, a lot of church starters and a lot of pastors I talk to around the country, and they say, you know, Ryan, tell me about how you started your church. And we did a lot of great things to start our church. We had almost 2,000 people attend our block parties last summer and spring. I personally shook hands with over 1,000 people before we started our church. I mean, this is insane crazy. We had several hundred kids attend our camps this summer. We've sent out thousands of postcards. We've done all that stuff. That's true. But you know what? The Edge Church is not about a bunch of programs. The Edge Church is about prayer. It's about God. And so I made a commitment right after we moved to our new house over here in Tollgate Crossing to spend 100 hours in prayer prior to our very first public service on June the 28th. And so from last fall till June the 28th, I prayed for 100 hours just for the strategic vision of this church and that God would do something awesome. Over 200 people attended that first service. You see, the power, the strength behind the Edge Church and the fact that so many lives are being changed is not about the programming, and it's not even about the music, as great as it is, and it's not about all this stuff. It's about God. It's about Him. And it's about prayer. And when we begin to get into prayer, God begins to shake things up around us. So today, if you're feeling depleted spiritually, man, today you just need to make a greater commitment, man, to get on your knees and to cry out to God and let Him energize your life. Maybe today you need to even begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never connected with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And maybe today you'd like to just invite Him in to be the leader and to be the Lord of your life. And I'm going to give you a chance to do that at the end of our time together in just a moment. But waiting on the Lord increases our strength. We've been working on starting this church for over 1 year. We moved here a year ago. We've been working on the plans for the church for several months longer than that. But people have even asked me, Ryan, you moved in September to the Denver metro area. Why didn't you start your church, you know, immediately? Well, we had to wait for God to open the door. We had money to raise. We had to find a place to meet. We had to get our team together. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into starting a church. And I'm sure we could have, you know, cranked a church up or something like that in the first couple of weeks we were here, or first few months, but we were waiting on God. And now we're seeing the fruit of the patience and the waiting for God's timing. Now God has opened the door up and said, it's time to go. And listen, when God opens the door for you, run through it. Don't wait. Go for it. Okay? Don't hesitate. But just make sure before you make that decision that that's where God's leading you and that's what He's saying to you. So it's always wise to wait and to be patient. And you know, that's why so many of us are in debt today. You know, we have financial woes, we have problems, because we're not waiting upon the Lord. We're not waiting for God's direction. And so we make impulsive spending decisions. Listen, before you spend any large sum of money, you got to be totally certain that that is exactly what God is leading you to do. It'll be a chain around your neck. Don't do it. We need to find God's leadership in all the big decisions that we make in our lives. And you know, a lot of times when we're looking at our problems, we're looking through a magnifying glass. And we see that one situation, and it's just, you know, we see that one ant, and it looks like a dinosaur through a magnifying glass. It looks huge. But you know what? God doesn't look through a magnifying glass. God looks at the panoramic, high-definition view of the world. He sees the whole plan, everything added together, the summation of all of it. And I wanted to go to Austin a year early, but you know what? God had another plan. He saw the whole picture. He knew that I needed to marry Gina. He knew that I needed to finish my master's degree. He knew that the timing was not right. And so God was not looking just at the one minute little detail. God was seeing the whole picture. And listen, God sees the whole picture of your life. He sees the whole thing. See, there's some uncertainty right now with whatever you're facing. And that uncertainty causes us many times to doubt and to be afraid. But know this, God sees the whole picture. That's why we can trust Him. That's why we can follow Him. That's why our strength can be renewed. Now, our strength can't be renewed if we don't trust the Lord. If we just feel like life is all up to me and whatever I can accomplish and whatever I can do and, you know, however much strength I've got and however much creativity I've got. You know, a lot of times we see an opportunity, we go and we kick the door down, you know. We do kind of the Steven Seagal method, you know. And instead of waiting on the Lord and being patient, and just letting God develop those things and let Him direct us and being prayerful and being more certain and a little more cautious and a little more intuitive about those decisions that God has for us. But see, when we begin to wait on the Lord, we trust Him, and then God begins to renew our strength. He begins to revive us. He begins to energize us so that we can press on and face whatever situations are before us. So, instead of being angry and frustrated with God, what we've got to do is we've got to begin to just find His timing. And I know that all across this room, man, there's so many different decisions we're trying to make, some about family, some about future, some about finances, some about whatever it may be. And I want to just encourage you today, as your pastor, to wait upon the Lord. And wait upon the Lord. And as you wait upon Him, He's going to renew your strength. He's going to give you the strength to soar like eagles. He's going to help you to run and not grow weary, and to walk and not grow faint. And that's what it means to wait on the Lord. Now, what are we going to do when somebody moves our cheese? What are we going to do when we know we're the most qualified person for the job, but we don't get it? What are we going to do when that relationship is frustrating us? What are we going to do when we have a decision and we're not really sure to go this direction or that direction? We need to wait upon the Lord. Let's just bow together for a word of prayer. God, we come before You today. We bring our burdens and our struggles and our heartaches. And God, we come to You today asking You to invigorate our spirits, to give us the strength to continue to press on, to run and to not grow weary. God, that's our desire. But God, sometimes we feel so strangled and so controlled by our own circumstances and our own decisions and our own heartaches, God. And today we want to bring those to You, and we want to ask You to liberate us and to set us free by the power of Jesus Christ and by His Lordship in our life. And so, Lord, we turn to You and we look to You today to heal every burden and every hurt, and to bring strength and perseverance, Lord, into our lives as we make difficult choices this coming week. And while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, maybe today you'd like to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never invited Him in to be the leader of your life. And the Scripture says that you can just invite Him in by asking. In fact, it says that all of us have sin in our life, and our lives have been separated from God because of our sin. And because God is a holy God, He had to send Jesus Christ to connect humanity with God. And through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, humankind could be forgiven. Maybe today you'd like to just reach out your hand, spiritually speaking, and just invite Jesus Christ in to be the leader and the Lord of your life. Would you just say this? Say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. Lord, please forgive me of my sin and make me a brand new person. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ and what He did at the resurrection for my salvation. And now, Lord, help me to walk with You each day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.